It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today to study the precious Word. We're in the book of John, John chapter 21. We're going to begin reading with the 18th verse, and we'll read to the end of the chapter, which is verse 25. And so please open your Bibles up to John chapter 21 and turn to the 15th verse. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I'd like to invite you to write to us, and not only to come to visit would be wonderful, but also if you would like, you could write to us at Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. You could visit us at our website at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And we would invite you to contact us if you would like. Any questions that you would have, statements that you'd like to make, share with us that when you'd come to know the Lord Jesus, whatever is on your heart, we would love to hear from you. So please feel free to come or write or contact us by the website. Now, John chapter 21, we're going to begin reading at verse 18. John chapter 21, verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walk whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciples whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And Peter, seeing that, he saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? And Jesus saith to him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that the disciple that this disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testified these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Let's go with the Lord in prayer before we begin the study today. Father, I thank and praise you for your word. I thank you for the opportunity we have to come together and to study this word. It's such a joy, Lord, to open your word and spend time in it, and then have the opportunity to share what you have shown me in your word and share that with these wonderful folks that are listening today. Please, Lord, that you'll open the ears and the eyes and the heart to everything that you have to say today. If it be to invite that person that's lost, that's never come to the Lord Jesus, to come to you, please, today, that they be called, that you would open that invitation up to them, draw them. We know that we're not saved on our own merit and our own means. We know that we have nothing good in us. You draw us, and so please, as we are drawn to you, please that we will come and invite you into our hearts, and then we'll begin to walk with you each and every day. Thank you, Lord, that we have this time together to spend. Now please guide and lead us through this study. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have come down through these verses of Scripture and have spent two or three weeks on them, and we need to just touch them for a minute. Lovest thou me, then feed my lambs. Lovest thou me, feed my sheep. Lovest thou me, then feed my sheep. And we find that in verse 15, 16, and 17 of the verses just above where we started. And this was a direction given to Peter. Peter was told to what to do, and the need to not only bring people to the Lord Jesus and guide them there and watch the Spirit of God work, but then also when they do come and commit their lives to the Lord Jesus, that we be there to take God's Word to them and teach them God's Word. God has set in place for us the local church for this very purpose, and it's wonderful to come together to enjoy studying the Word of God. We do it on Sunday morning, and for Sunday school, for church, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we spend this time together on the radio. It's just wonderful to enjoy a study in the Word of God. We have a ladies' Bible study on Tuesday afternoon, and they do the same. They enjoy looking at verse after verse after verse of the Scripture that we may know and understand the precious Word, your precious Word, Lord. So thank you that we have an opportunity to come. Please now, as we look through these words, it's a desire to teach them, and as each time we need to thank and praise the Lord for what He has given us. We have the opportunity to look through these words, and we find the words, verily, verily. Now those words are strong words, and those words are direct words, verily, verily. And it calls attention to something. Listen, listen very carefully. And it says, now listen, I'm going to tell you something. When you were young, you did whatever you wanted to do. But when you're old, you're going to do something that is contrary to what you would normally do. So please, he's telling Peter, you follow me. Now, he is giving that instruction and has done so several times in asking, lovest thou me? And then he tells him to feed the sheep and feed the sheep and feed the sheep. And these words that are almost as common to feed my sheep or feed my lambs is follow me. And in the 19th verse, he saith unto him, follow me. And then we find down in the 22nd verse, follow thou me. He wants Peter to follow him, follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter is called to be an apostle. Peter is also told here of the type of death he's going to die, and that's a martyr's death. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, as Scripture tells us, as a prisoner, as a style of a prisoner. Verily, verily, I say unto thee. Jesus told all the apostles that there would be much suffering, and Peter here was chosen, identified to be one that would have a special level of suffering. It is said that he died in the year A.D. 68 or possibly 79. There's two different dates that's in question as far as when Peter died. And there is much discussion. Tradition says that he was to be crucified according to what the Scripture tells us here, but that he would not be crucified the same as his Lord, and he was crucified upside down. Now, that's just history. That is not spoken in the Word of God, but we do know that he is told that he was going to die quite a death here. You know, we need to understand that in our life, when I preach a funeral, many times that's the strongest testimony that that person has ever given. It's a sad statement, isn't it, that when I stand behind that little stand at the funeral home, or if it's at the church or wherever the funeral is going to be held, but when I stand there and proclaim the Word of God, I do not proclaim much about that individual, because you see, the life of that individual, you know, may seem to be very, very important to everybody around, but what's important is the Lord Jesus and that person's relationship to the Lord Jesus. So it's the connection. It's not just that person's life, but it's that person's life in relationship to Jesus. That's what's important. And so what I tell is of that relationship and speak of the Lord Jesus and His great saving power. We know here that in doing that, the sad thing is that many people then, I am proclaiming Jesus when they're laying in that coffin. And instead of speaking Jesus when they were alive, many folks have very little witness and testimony. And it's when I speak there, preach their funeral, that they really are made known to their friends and family that they were even a Christian. sad. Please, Peter is going to die quite a death. He is going to live quite a life in testimony of the Lord Jesus. You see, Peter's about to do something here, even though he denied him three times prior to this at the crucifixion. We find that he's come with a repentant heart. The Lord Jesus has restored him back into fellowship. Never lost his salvation, but he did lose his fellowship. He's back into fellowship now. He's in a wonderful walk and talk with the Lord Jesus Christ here. And the Lord Jesus continues to teach him, and he wants him to do a work. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. And I'm going to tell you something else, Peter. The Lord Jesus is saying, not only are you going to live a life that brings honor and glory to me, but you're going to die a death. And the scripture tells us in 19, this spake he signifying by what death he should glorify God. It isn't by what death he should die, by what death he should glorify God. Now you see, in our life as a believer in Jesus Christ, we should bring honor and glory unto the Lord in our life, but even in our death. You know, as we look through these sections of scripture in verse 18 and 19, says, stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. That is, as a prisoner is hung on the cross to be crucified, the words here are told very clearly. Verily, verily, I say unto you that Peter, you're going to be identified in a special way. He's being told to feed the sheep. Peter's also being told not to expect honor nor ease, not in this life. And as I said that last week, I want you to hear that again. Not in this life. Many people preach and teach a very feel-good religion, and if you don't feel good, then go do something that feels good. And when we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to be in His hands and in His direction. We're to be following Him every day and not following man. And there's many days, and following Christ is not going to be a day that makes you feel good. It's going to be a day that's going to bring honor and glory unto God, and that's what's important, and that will bring peace and joy into your heart. But don't think it to be easy. Don't expect to drive a fancy car. Don't expect to live in a big house. Serve, honor, and glorify God. Support His church. You know, what would be the difference if you would drive a little smaller car and help the work that's going on in your local church? If your local church is a Bible-preaching, soul-winning church, I want you to support that church with your time and with your money, and support that church to bring and further the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So many people today would rather drive around in a brand new shiny car or tear down there, as the rich man did. He tore down his barns and built bigger barns so that he could eat, drink, and be merry. That seems to be even the feeling and the thought of people that retire today, that I have served, I have worked, now it's time for me to eat, drink, and be merry. There is nothing in the Word of God that tells us to quit working. We should continue to work. We should always be in service to the Lord. There is never a time. Another statement that I hear quite often, well, when I was younger, I taught Sunday school, but now it's somebody else's turn. There is always work that needs to be done, and it's not a matter of somebody else's turn. Don't retire on the Lord. Get to work. Peter did not retire. Peter proclaimed the Word of God. He fed the lambs. He fed the sheep. He fed the sheep, and then he died a very horrible death. And that's what Peter was to expect. And the Lord Jesus even told him so ahead of time. We should honor and glorify our God. We should not look forward and lay all this money up for retirement and then think that, okay, now everything is fine, and stop serving God, stop giving unto the work that God has put before you. Please, that we be busy about not only doing the work, but also supporting the work. Missionaries in the local church need the support of believers, and only believers, but believers, to further the gospel of the Lord Jesus and help the feeding of the lambs and the sheep. Being saved by the blood of the Lamb. You know, Peter wasn't worried about death, but how you die. Do you die in bonds? Do you die in prison? You die waiting execution? How many beatings are you going to have to face before you die? Death is not a problem. But the way you die, that can be a problem. And I tell you what, people that die with cancer, people that die here in this brutal way that Peter faced death. I believe that he lived a good period of time before he faced death, but when he did face death, it was a horrible death. But you see what it accomplished? This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. You know, that should be the prayer of every believer, the desire of every believer, that as Paul always said, you know, for me to live, that's fine, but to die is gain. And even in that dying, we bring honor and glory unto God. You know, however I die, I want to die bringing honor and glory unto God. However I live, I want to bring honor and glory unto God. That should be the desire of every believer. And today, again, we get to the retirement age. We retire not only from work, but from church. And we go south for half the year and back here for half the year. Oh, we go to a beautiful church down there. We just love that church. Well, a couple things are accomplished. Number one, when you do that, you get down there and you'll probably spend more time. Most people go to down to Texas and Florida and Arizona to play golf. They leave here to get out of the winters. And, you know, if it's for health purposes, that's understandable. But I ask you, please, that you don't go down there just to play. You go down there to serve the Lord and to work if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The world goes down there to play. We need to be in service to the Lord. Don't retire again on the Lord. Get to work. I have here Peter as he looks at the life that he had. He was going to die a very painful death. And we have the verse of Scripture here, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest where thou would. You had your own will and way, but when thou art old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another gird thee and carry thee where thou would not." And this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had thus spoken this, he saith unto him, "Follow me." You know, as he told him, "Follow me," each time, even though he spoke to him as far as his life is concerned. Now he spoke to Peter concerning what death he was going to face. And when he finished that out, he finished that with the same words, "Follow me." Gird thyself, prepare for whatever I bring to you, because I will bring peace and joy into your life and into your heart, no matter how much pain and agony the world may give to you. Please follow me. And that's a desire that every one of us should have, and a call that each one of us should look towards. You know, we're born one way, and that's from the mother's womb. Now, some are born prematurely. Some have a lot of difficulties during birth. If they're born early, they have a tough road to go to where they get what would be the normal time that they would come into this world. They are a baby. They were born upon conception. That child, that's not a fetus, as some try to tell you, to where you can do anything you want to until that child is born. It's murder, and please don't have anything to do with it. Don't promote it. Don't try to talk someone. There's so many people that would love to have children and care for them. Abortion is a terrible, terrible thing. And the partial birth abortion is worse, if there can be such a thing. The only exciting thing that we know, our God allows those babies to go to heaven. Well, I'll tell you what, the mother, the doctors, those people that promote that, they can be saved and go to heaven. But I tell you what, if they die without the Lord Jesus and have murdered baby after baby after baby, that judgment, there's different levels of judgment in the lake of fire and hell, and it's going to be found out with those folks that thought they needed that money. And it's the mother's choice, they say. What happened to that dear baby? What happened to that baby? And that mother better start making some better decisions. And that's coming to Jesus for salvation and begin to walk after the Lord Jesus. Ask Him to forgive them for the mistake that they made as that child was about to come into the world. And then please don't murder that baby. Born. Each one of us are born. Every one of us appointed a time to be born and a time to die. But the way we die, there's a difference in each one of us how they die. And Peter here's told how we're going to die. You know, it's important that we're not just born once. We need to be born twice. We need to be born again. We need to live for the Lord Jesus Christ all of our days. We need to die. Whatever death we die, we need to die in a way that brings honor and glory unto God. We don't think about it. We think of having our life to submit unto the Lord. But even when we come close to our death, we need to ask, Lord, please, that I have your will. Because not only did I want to die for you, live for you, but I want to die bringing glory unto you. So please, that we call upon the Lord Jesus Christ for that power and for that strength. You know, as we look at Philippians chapter 1, the 20th and 21st verse, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, in that nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Oh, that we look to that. You know, we think of the death being gain, yes, because we go right into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, live a wonderful life with Him eternally. But it's also important that when we die, we bring glory unto God. This is specifying that Peter is going to do just that. It's not going to be easy, Peter. I'm going to ask you, follow me. What great instructions he has. Follow me. It's important that we don't miss those words. Follow me. As we look now at this 20th verse of Scripture, then Peter, turning about, seeth his disciple, whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? As we looked at the words to follow, follow me, follow me. Peter also here finds, as he visits with someone that he was very close with, not only with the Lord Jesus, but this disciple that Jesus loved, we know that to be none other than John, the author, the writer of this book, the one that brought us the words to this book, the book of John, of course, or the Holy Spirit. John was the man that recorded it for us. A man that was very, very close to the Lord Jesus and loved the Lord Jesus, was very quiet spoken. Peter was the one that was a little more outspoken. And we're about to have a discussion here in the 20th verse about that. But I see a verse of Scripture here that I would like to look up before we get that far. And it's concerning Peter. You know, sometimes in the Scripture we talk about that we don't understand. You know, did these men understand what they were going to move into, what kind of persecution they were going to have, how that they were going to be run out on their own families, would not love them or care for them, would not support them. You know, today we have the same thing. If you stand for the truth, well, you'll find few stand with you. People will criticize you. They'll use every means that they can to do that. Maybe to your face, why, they'll be kind to you, but behind your back they'll be saying things, questioning things. And I stand on the Word of God, and I'm not going to leave the Word of God. And so as people want to use their own thought and own interpretation to the precious Word, that's very dangerous, and I'm not willing to do that. To be liked, whether it be by family or otherwise, I'm going to stand for the truth. and stand alone many times. So you may have to do the same. Peter here, as he stood for the Word of God, and I asked the question, do you think Peter knew what he was going to have to face, and did he understand what kind of death he would have? Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, speaking of his body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as my Lord Jesus Christ hath shown me. Did he understand? Yes, he did. He understood the words the Lord Jesus is speaking to him back in John, here in John, as we looked at verses 18 and 19. He understood what was going to take place. We love the Word of God. Let's go on to Peter now as we look at him looking to John as we've read verse 20. And we know that John was very close to the Lord Jesus Christ. And John asks a question unto the Lord Jesus. In the closing verses of this book, he asks a question, and that question is, that one that betrayed thee. Now, is that talking about Judas, or is that talking about Peter? You see, both betrayed him, because Judas, for 30 pieces of silver, sold the Lord Jesus out, identified him with a kiss in the garden. Peter, after he was arrested, three times denied him. I've heard both in studying. I believe, after studying, in context here, that this is talking about Peter. John asks, is Peter going to face that kind of an awful death because he betrayed you? I think that's what John is asking here. John wants to know, is that what has to happen to Peter because of what he has done, the denying you three times? Now, Peter, in verse 21, sees him speaking to the Lord Jesus. Peter, seeing him, saith to the Lord, to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Now, when Peter has already heard what kind of death he'll have to face, somewhat of his life and his death, and here's John that's so close to the Lord Jesus, and he kind of questions the Lord Jesus, what is going to happen to John? What do you think's going to happen to John here? If I'm going to have to die such a death to bring honor and glory to you, John is very close to you. Was it that why do I have to do all the suffering? Or, you know, again, as a young believer, some of these things, yes, we understood what he said, we found back in 2 Peter, but did he like it? You know, if somebody's going to tell us that we're going to die an awful death, we're going to get cancer and we're going to suffer and we're going to die a slow death, an awful death, how do you feel about that? Are you ready to say, oh, thank you, Lord, bring honor and glory to all that you bring around me during that time until I die? Are we willing to do that, or are we going to wonder, why me? And that would probably be a more common statement that you and I would ask, and that was, why do I have to suffer this? I've done this, this, and this for you. Why am I suffering now? Well, was he questioning that with John, or was he pleased that the Lord would set him in such a place that he would bring honor and glory even to his death? And he was asking, now, what do you have for John to do? You know, what's going to go on in John's life? You've told me to feed your lambs, feed your sheep. But now, Lord, what do you want John to do? And it seems like that maybe that's a more likely statement than Peter complaining about what he's going to have to face. And yet I'm sure in Peter's mind, he's just human like everybody else. He's got quite a life ahead of him in preaching the gospel that he has no idea. And then really with his death, he still has no idea what's going to really take place with that in all its time. Now, we're going to pick up there and close the book out next time we come together. Please, as you look to the Word of God and we enjoy this time, we've looked at the Gospel several times, we've looked at life with Peter and John now. Please, my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?